Welcome to The Commentaries, a podcast series from TAN in which you'll learn how to read and understand history's greatest Catholic works from today's greatest Catholic scholars. In every series of The Commentaries, your expert host will be your personal guide to not just read the book, but to live the book, shining the light of its eternal truths into our modern darkness. Visit tancommentaries.com to get your copy of the book and to subscribe for access to all the great reading plans, new episodes, bonus content, and exclusive deals for listeners of The Commentaries.
Hello, I'm Father Robert Nixon, and this is the commentary series on Abandonment to Divine Providence by Jean-Pierre Ducussade. And today is day 8 of our series of podcasts, and we're going to be looking at Book 1, Chapter 2, Sections 9 and 10. And in these chapters, he's going to expand a little bit on the idea of the present moment as the revelation, the sacrament of God's will. Before we delve into the material, we'll pray to the Lord that our hearts and our minds may be open to what he has to say to us this day. O God, to you all moments, past, present, and future, are eternally one, and you transcend all boundaries of time and space. You are truly with each of us in every moment that we live, and closer to our souls than we are to ourselves. Help us fully to abandon ourselves to your divine providence, to trust in you completely, to do as you would do, to will what you will. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God for ever and ever. Amen. So we've heard a little bit recently about the importance of abandoning ourselves to the present moment and of accepting everything in life as the will of God, as a manifestation of the will of God. And I shouldn't say just accepting it, but accepting it with love and reverence, that all God sends to us to encounter in this life is for the purpose of leading us into deeper union with him. And in these next two sections, he continues on this theme. In section 9, he tells us that the will of God in the present moment is the source of sanctity. And, O all you who thirst, learn that you have not far to go to find the fountain of living waters. It flows quite close to you in the present moment, therefore hasten to find it. Why, with the fountain so near, do you tire yourself with running after every little rill? These only increase your thirst by giving a few drops, whereas the source is inexhaustible. If you desire to think, to write, and to speak like the prophets, the apostles, and the saints, you must give yourself up, as they did, to the inspiration of God. O unknown love, it seems as if your wonders were finished and nothing remained but to copy your ancient works. But no one sees that your inexhaustible activity is a source of new thoughts, of fresh sufferings and further actions, of new patriarchs, apostles, prophets, and saints, who have no need to copy the lives and writings of the others, but only to live in perpetual abandonment to your secret operations. And I think this is quite a daring thing that he writes here, very bold. He's saying that where we can find the sanctity and the grace which we need, we don't have to go looking for it either in distant locations or at remote points in history, but exactly what we need is exactly what God has given us, so that this becomes our true source of sanctity, our most reliable source of sanctity. And he says that, you know, we look back at the prophets, the apostles, and the saints, And what was so great about them, what was their source of sanctity, was that they abandoned themselves fully to what God was asking them at their particular point in time. And he says there are new patriarchs, apostles, prophets, and saints. So to think about this, and of course they're not living exactly the same life that the former ones did, but what they have in common is that they are equally abandoning themselves fully to divine providence, equally uniting their own will to the will of God. And we do this by surrendering whatever is in our will that's resisting or rebelling against God, against providence. And he asks us this question: had the saints of the first ages any other secret than that of becoming from moment to moment whatever the divine power willed to make of them? So he's saying there's actually no secret that this surrendering of oneself to the divine will, of allowing oneself to be fashioned by God's love and wisdom, is what makes anyone holy. And of course, sanctity is one, but it manifests itself through many different forms and modes of action. And it's possible to be a saint virtually in any form of life. Of course, assuming that life isn't in contradiction to the eternal commandments of God. But, you know, in any vocation, whether a person is a mother or a father or a policeman or a teacher or a monk or a priest or a bishop, that sanctity is equally accessible by surrendering to what God wants us to be, by becoming what God wants us to be. And as I noted before, sometimes that term surrender can be problematic because it implies doing something that we don't really want to do, or going along with a will that we don't really want to go along with. So maybe abandonment or even embracing can be a better way of putting it. And he writes here, overflowing with great enthusiasm, O love eternal, adorable, ever fruitful and ever marvelous, may the divine operation of my God be my book, my doctrine, my science. In it are my thoughts, my words, my actions, and my sufferings. Not by consulting your former work shall I become what you would have me to be, but by receiving you in everything. In the next section, which is section 10, he tells us that God makes known his will through creatures. In the present moment are made manifest the name of God and the coming of his kingdom. The present moment is the ambassador of God to declare his mandates. The heart listens and pronounces its fiat. I think this is a remarkable image, that the moment which we encounter, in which we are now living, this very present moment now, is in fact an ambassador of God. It's conveying to us exactly what God wants to convey to us at this point in time, and what is most necessary for our sanctification. And sometimes, you know, we can forget that and instead look for God in remote places, in either in books or by making pilgrimages and so forth. And of course, there's nothing wrong with those, but we shouldn't forget that God is present just in the everyday, in each and every moment. And by this soul giving this fiat, which of course is the word used by the Blessed Virgin Mary, translated as let it be. Fiat mihi secundum verbum tuum, let it be done unto me according to thy word, is exactly the same what each of us should be saying all the time. Through this, the soul advances by all of these things and flows out from its center to its goal. It never stops, but sails with every wind. Any and every direction lead equally to the shore of infinity. Everything is a help to it, and is, without exception, an instrument of sanctity. The one thing necessary can always be found for it in the present moment. It is no longer a choice between prayer and silence, seclusion and society, reading and writing, meditation and cessation of thought, flight from and seeking after spiritual consolations, abundance and dearth, feebleness and health, life and death. but it is all that each moment presents by the will of God. So this is very interesting. He's saying we don't need to occupy ourselves too much in the choice of whether should I be reading sacred scripture, should I be praying the rosary, should I be meditating quietly, should I be doing a work of charity. He's saying, well, you know, in the end, it doesn't matter with each of those. They're all good things. As long as we do them in such a way that we are conforming ourselves entirely to the will of God as best as we can. And of course, included in that will is human freedom. We do, in fact, sometimes have the capacity to make decisions which we make. But to think of those decisions as being directed towards the will of God as far as we can discern it. And if we genuinely can't discern it, if it comes down to, should I read the scriptures now? Should I say the rosary? Should I do some work around the house? Should I spend time with my spouse? Which of these things does God want me to do at this point of time? Well, normally we can discern that pretty much through our own common sense. But if you genuinely, you know, can't, then it means that any of those options are equally the source of sanctity. So there's no need to be too anxious about this discernment. And he says, if all that happens to a soul abandoned to God is all that is necessary for it, then we can understand that nothing can be wanting to it, or in other words, nothing lacking from it, and that it should never pity itself, for this would be a lack of faith and living according to reason and the senses, which are never satisfied, as they cannot perceive the sufficiency of grace possessed by the soul. To hallow the name of God is, according to the meaning of Holy Scripture, to recognize his sanctity in all things, and to love and adore him in them. Things, in fact, proceed from the mouth of God like words. Which is quite remarkable that God is speaking to us through creation. And a number of saints have said that, you know, we've got God speaking to us through Jesus Christ, through scriptures, through the church, but also through creation. And when I say creation, I'm not talking in some kind of New Age type of sense that, you know, it's an ecological theology, although I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But it's the created things, the daily things we encounter in our life, the events which actually happen to us, the business we have to deal with, the other people to whom we relate, that all of these are articulations or expressions of God. And he gives to us exactly what is necessary. And I guess often we can feel that, you know, we don't have everything we need in life, that somehow we're wanting more. And as De Cussard points out, that's only the senses talking to us, because the senses by their nature are never fully satisfied. But the soul finds all it needs within the present moment, because the present moment is, as he said earlier, God's ambassador to us. And I would also add, it's God's gift to us. And the alternative translation of the title of this book, The Sacrament of the Present Moment. So if we think about each present moment being a sacrament offered to us by God, a sacrament is a sign which is also the reality of that which it indicates. And of course, the best example of this is the Eucharist. But it's also the case of the present moment of whatever situation we're in life. And he gives a few examples of this. He gives an example of Job. And we're all familiar with the story of Job from the Old Testament, of how he suffers terribly. Yet in the face of all this suffering, he maintains an awareness that it's the will of God. And although part of him wants to question it and wonder, you know, why has this happened to him? His fundamental faith is never shaken. And he says, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And I think that's a wonderful scriptural verse for each Catholic to have in their heart to call upon whenever they need it in moments of loss or sadness or trial. He tells us that the events of every moment bear the impress of the will of God and of his adorable name. How holy is this name! It is right, therefore, to bless it, to treat it as a kind of sacrament, which by its own virtue sanctifies those souls, which place no obstacles in its way. And this, of course, is the great challenge, to remove those obstacles, the resistances we offer to the presence of God in the sacrament of the present moment. We need to get rid of those obstacles, to abandon ourselves fully to the love and mercy of God in whatever way it manifests itself. So this brings us to the end of podcast 8. In our next session, we're going to be continuing with Book 1, Chapter 2, looking at sections 11 and 12. And these are absolutely fascinating sections, so I'll be looking forward very much to delving into them with you. Until then, thank you so much for joining me on this enlightening journey into the spiritual life. Until next time, may Almighty God bless you. Thank you.
This has been an episode of The Commentaries, a podcast brought to you by Tan. To follow the show, study more of the greatest Catholic classics, and to support The Commentaries and other great free content from Tan, visit tancommentaries.com to subscribe and use coupon code COM25 to get 25% off your next order, including Abandonment to Divine Providence and countless more spiritual works to deepen your interior life and guide you to heaven.